This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. So here's a question for many of us to think about. How much fighting is normal in a marriage? It's a question that's bound to provoke some deep thinking among couples, maybe even some disagreement, maybe even a fight. In any event, it's the focus of today's Love Letter segment, our occasional series about love and relationships brought to us by Meredith Goldstein, advice columnist and entertainment reporter for the Boston Globe. And hi, Meredith. Great
Hello.
To have you. Good to see you back here.
Nice to be here.
So we're going
to
talk about a letter you received from a reader that begins this way. I've been married a little over 5 years, and I'm starting to question whether the problems my husband and I have are normal relationship struggles or something more. And to get right to the point, Meredith, she's concerned that she and her husband fight a lot. She thinks they fight a lot, but she's not sure. So lay out her story.
You know, this is a common question. She really says it so succinctly that, you know, she and her husband fight frequently. But again, as you put it, she doesn't know how frequently is too frequently.
Yeah.
She, you know, she knows what she knows in the context of her own relationship, which is that her husband tends to bicker with her, tends to storm out, tends to criticize her behavior. She confesses that she's a little messy and perhaps likes to watch TV all day while he likes to do the cleaning. So, you know, she's saying, look, this is how we communicate. Is this unhealthy? And it's a tough question to answer as an advice columnist, because some couples, you know, this is just how they communicate. They bicker. They bicker as opposed to talking. But in this case, you know, I threw up a flag because she mentions anger management. She mentions storming out of the house. And generally, if you're asking, do we fight too much? You're probably fighting too much. I think the couples who fight as a means of talking and are comfortable with that type of communication, they wouldn't be asking me this question.
Right. So your advice to her was, if you're asking the question, if he's storming out of the house, there's probably a problem here.
Yes, I, you know, not surprisingly, I recommend some marriage counseling, but I also talked to her a little bit about making sure that she balances all the daily mundane tasks with activities where she knows they won't fight, things that they like to do together, hobbies, activities, you know, going out to the movies, places where they can balance that stress time with fun time, which, you know, I think once we get in the routine of daily chores and, you know, we've really got to get a balance for that in order to stop ourselves from fighting.
And what about this sort of basic question at the heart of her letter? You know, is this normal? Do you think any relationship can sort of answer that or kind of hone to some sort of normal idea about when is too much?
I have never seen a normal relationship. I don't even know what that is, but I do know that one should feel happy and confident, and not have fear. You know, that's a big thing with this letter. You know, is the fighting scary? Does it put you in a place where you don't feel safe, and not just physically or emotionally, but just, you know, safe in the relationship, that you're not going to just crumble and fall apart as a couple? So, to me, you know, once you're asking that question, you know.
Listeners, we want to hear from you on this question. We're talking to Meredith Goldstein. She's the advice columnist and entertainment reporter for the Boston Globe. She writes the Love Letters section of the Globe and comes in here regularly. So here's the question. How much fighting do you think is normal for a marriage? Is that even the right question? Maybe the question is, how do you deal with conflicts in your own relationship? What's your reaction when you argue with a spouse? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter and Radio Boston. And let me introduce Paula Schumann. She's the co-author of the book, It's Not You, It's the Dishes. I'm going to start again. It's Not You, It's the Dishes, How to Minimize Conflicts and Maximize Happiness in Your Relationship. And she's joining us from the studios of New York Public Radio. And welcome to the program, Paula. Good to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you spent some time researching the way couples argue. What was your reaction when you read this letter that Meredith described?
I mean, I had a similar reaction to Meredith, in the sense that the question isn't necessarily what's normal. I have no idea what's normal, except, of course, coming from a perfectly normal marriage myself. but basically, I mean, when I first read 1 to 2 fights per month, I thought, hey, that sounds pretty good, actually.
She said. She has 1 to 2 fights a month. But I guess it's the quality of the fights,
right,
not the quantity.
Yeah,
right?
It's the quality, and also it's the nature of how we get out of the fighting, how we emerge from it. It's much more important how we make up, I think, than how we than the fact that we fight. I mean, we are going to fight. But if you don't cross certain lines, like name calling or walking out, then you're more likely to emerge from that fight relatively unscathed emotionally.
Meredith, I'm going to ask you both. One thing that struck me about this letter is that she says that he calls her name, storms out of the house, though she says these fights never get physical. But this behavior sounds sort of abusive to me. I mean, physical abuse is surely dangerous, extreme kind of abuse, but shouldn't folks be concerned about what sounds here like emotional abuse? And to say it's not physical doesn't really excuse it.
Well, she uses, you know, this when she talks about anger management, I get a little bit concerned. What does that mean? What is she seeing? And that's why I did mention couples therapy. I don't always throw couples therapy at every couple with a problem who writes in. But this one, you know, it seemed to me that they had some stuff to talk about with a third party.
Right. Paula, in your book, you write about something really interesting called loss aversion. So this is a term from economics to minimize conflicts and maximize returns in your marriage. Can you explain this? What does this theory look like when applied to marital conflict?
Well, when we looked at it, I mean, typically in behavioral economics, people use it when they look at how people behave in the stock market. And the idea is that when we think we're losing something, we tend to act irrationally and do everything to stem those losses. The idea is we hate losing so much, even more so than we love to win. So we'll do anything to stop losing. And so we have a whole chapter where we talk about arguing. And oftentimes when loss aversion comes into play, and I know from personal experience, I certainly hate to lose an argument. And, you know, maybe I need to say it 5 times and then I'll win. Or maybe I need to have it in a different tone of voice or storm out and that'll make the point. But the important thing when you have that sense of you might be losing an argument is to recognize that that's the point where you're behaving irrationally and that's the point when you should stop. So that's why we talk about it actually can be a good thing to go to bed angry because 24 hours later you might feel a lot better and you might still have to discuss what you're disagreeing about, but not in a confrontational way. I mean, rather than storm out the door, you might say, you know what, we're getting nowhere here. I'm super angry at you. You're angry at me. I need a break. Take a break.
There's a scene that I want to play, a little clip from the TV show Louie, where the main character, Louie, played by Louis C.K., is arguing with his ex-wife, Janet, played by Susan Watson. The argument gets to a point where name calling and storming out might ensue, but something else happens. Let's listen.
You are way out of line.
I know that.
What?
I know I'm out of line. I'm too emotional and I'm too upset now to contribute anything real to the conversation because you got me to this place.
So it's my fault?
No, it's not. I'm saying that I can't say anything worthwhile anymore.
So what do you think, Paula? I mean, it sounds like he's trying to back down there. I mean, he got that little zinger in. You brought me here, but he's trying to back down.
I know. At first, I thought, oh, this is funny. I was under the impression he was actually pretty bad at being married. But when I heard that argument, he sounds pretty good at it. That's exactly what I think is productive. I mean, he sounds angry, but what he's saying is like, I cannot argue well right now, so we need to stop.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happens next, but
I didn't see that episode either, but I loved I love the clip. Well, let's take a couple of calls. Listeners, we're talking about how much fighting in a marriage is normal, how to avoid it, how to fight constructively. What's your experience with this situation? 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Ginny, who's calling from Bedford. Hi, Ginny, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to pass along some advice that my husband and I got several years back when we were in counseling that I found to be very valuable, which was to perhaps not focus on frequency so much as on whether it's constructive or not, i.e., how do you argue? I mean, do you go back 5 years to old wounds and drag it all up every time there's an argument? And also, how do you make up? I mean, there's the I'm sorry piece, but there's also the how did this happen? What did we do? What did you say that really set me off? You sort of deconstruct the argument with the hope that you might not go down that path again.
Mm. Ginny, thanks so much for those suggestions. Paula, does that sound like sound thinking there from Ginny on this subject?
Yeah, exactly. I was actually, funnily enough, I was just thinking about my own parents who've been married for 43 years, and they have a few bits of advice, but one of them is don't don't be critical. Don't overthink it. Don't think of it as work, and don't be critical. And that feels like no matter how angry you are or how slighted you are, if you cannot be critical and not insult, then someone, the other person, is more likely to hear what you're saying to begin with.
Hmm. Meredith, one of the things that comes out of this letter that, sort of prompted this conversation is it begins with small things. I mean, they're sort of fighting about small things like she wants to stay on the couch, he needs the house to be a little bit cleaner, but they blow up into something much more meaningful.
Yeah,
right?
I'm glad you mentioned this because after I posted the letter, I wound up having a nice email conversation with this letter writer. And I said to her, you know, if you have any disposable income, hire a cleaning service. and I often
exactly.
recommend that any disposable income, this is money well spent because life is incredibly stressful. And this is like any other roommate situation. If you know that you can't keep up the house and it's just not your thing, you want to be respectful to the person you live with. So, you know, we talked a little bit about ways to stop these little things from becoming big because it was just stress on top of stress. And I got the sense that sometimes they weren't even fighting about each other. It was just that they happened to be the straw that, you know, that sort of broke the hills back at the end of the day. So, yes, you know, in order to avoid all of these little problems, cleaning services, nights out, babysitting,
outsourcing.
And Paula, you know, in reading some of what you've proposed, I want to just go through a couple of ideas. This was a piece that I saw you wrote recently. Here with five somewhat regressive, not very romantic, yet extremely effective lessons from economics for a happy marriage with long-term prospects. Now I'm just going to skim through them. Talk less, lose weight, do the dishes, put out.
I love
that, it. It sounds like capitulation, though.
Sounds like a good marriage to me.
But can you explain a little bit why that isn't just sort of capitulation?
Well, I don't think it's actually capitulation at all. I mean, you know, the talking less goes back to what I said before is, you know, sometimes talking, you can just dig yourself in deeper and you need to take a break,
right.
Give each other some space. Doing the dishes, you know, reminds me of this couple that wrote in, you know. Again, that goes back to just tit for tat. You know, marriage shouldn't be a tit for tat keeping score situation. You know, ideally you're married 60 years and eventually it all evens out. And if you're keeping track every day, like you did the dishes yesterday, I did the dishes yesterday, so you do them today. I clean the house. You clean. I mean, just that's so destructive. Putting out. I don't know. I mean, what's the argument against that?
I'm tired. I have a headache. I don't know. I mean,
no,
there are many arguments.
That's a bad. Well, one of the things. I mean, you know, it basically one of the things we talk about in the book is that you know, there are lots of things that we don't feel like doing, but that are still good for us and still make us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy in the course of a marriage to get. And I don't want to sound like the husband, but like to get in this letter, but to get lazy and to take each other for granted. So something that can take a few minutes out of your time and get the two of you to reconnect and just feel good for 2 seconds.
I would love that you said few minutes, 2 seconds. This is making me giggle over here.
I'm sorry. Okay, I've said enough.
But I'm
Meredith,
with you.
Your turn.
I'm with you on that. And it is funny that you mentioned, you know, just sort of this idea of weight loss or doing the dishes or bettering yourself. I think that comes up in this letter, that when one person feels like they're working really hard to keep their life, you know, up to standards and the other person isn't, you know, you feel like you're not in it together.
Yeah, actually a comment on that story. Someone commented, there were tons of comments on this story, and someone said, you know, I don't mean to side with the husband, but like, you know, it is kind of depressing when you get married and you just let yourself go.
Sitting on the couch watching TV, yeah.
Let's get a couple more listeners into this conversation. We've got a lot of people who want to get into this conversation. Jean is calling from the Merrimack Valley. Hi, Jean, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jean. Good conversation. I've been married for 26 years, and I just wanted to share a couple of things because my husband and I have what we would like to refer to as a high-conflict marriage. But it's a high-conflict marriage with caveats in that, for example, when we go, we've sort of worked out a lot of rituals that work for us. Like we have Friday night talks where we'll go over a lot of the things we might be mad at each other about, and we work them out. I think the thing that was most important to me when I got married is that my husband is a good communicator. And so we can work out the conflicts. It's not that we don't have them. When we go to bed, I don't like going to bed angry, but I don't mind going to bed angry in a way that I might say to my husband, look, we haven't figured this out, but I love you, and let's go to sleep, and we'll figure it out tomorrow, as opposed to when we were first married, arguing until 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, Jean, these all sound like this sounds like a lot of wisdom that explains why you've been together for 26 years. We really appreciate the call. I want to get a man's perspective into this conversation. David is calling from Holden. David, you're on the air.
Hi there. My basic feeling is that if you're really fighting a lot with your spouse, you're married to the wrong person. My first marriage, 10 years, fights all the time, multiple fights a week, loud, awful, running out of the house, everything. I've now been married for 20 years to a different woman, and in that 20 years, we've had 2 fights.
Wow. And you really think that's only because you're married to the right person as opposed to, it had nothing to do with you maturing maybe a little bit or going or getting a little older, a little mellower?
No, absolutely not. It was being with the right person. Mm-hmm. She actually had the same sort of issue. She was, again, married to a man for 10 years that it absolutely did not work out with, and she was on her own for about 10 years after that, and once we met, that was it.
Yeah.
So same people, different, you know, but married to each other instead of to other people, and it's worked out beautifully.
David, glad to hear it. Thanks so much for the call. Paula, we only have about 30 seconds left or so. I'd love to get a final thought from both you and Meredith, and that is, if couples are worried that they argue in a way that's unhealthy, how can they start to make a change?
I think, if you've got disposable income for counseling, it's a great thing to do. I think what that caller said, the second to last caller, about setting aside, in lieu of therapy, setting aside one day a week where you talk about the things that might have been bothering you. I guarantee you by the time, if that day is Friday and you have something that bothers you on Monday, by the time you get to Friday, it'll feel a little bit better and you'll be a little bit able to talk about it rationally. So I think that's a great idea.
Meredith, final thought from you.
Final thought, I'm still on the cleaning service.
Have sex.
Yes, that too.
All right. That's a good note upon which to end this show and this week. Meredith Goldstein, advice columnist, entertainment reporter for the Boston Globe. Thanks so much. Have a great
weekend.
Thanks
for having me.
And Paula Schumann, co-author of the book, It's Not You, It's the Dishes, How to Minimize Conflicts and Maximize Happiness in Your Relationship. Thank you so much, Paula. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great holiday weekend. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.